Good morning. It is good to see you in the place of worship. You are at the right time, in the right place with? Amen, amen. So good to see you. We have a few announcements. You can find them in your bulletin, and I want to mention a few of them. And, oh, I have many on my hands. Okay. Oh, Thanksgiving is coming, right? This coming Thursday, our church is preparing Thanksgiving basket. Our goal is to make 25 of them, and each one costs $30. Am I right? Yes. If you want to prepare, please let the office know or Roberta know about that one. And during the Advent is coming next week. So after this service, we will do the hanging of the greens. So please remain after worship, and you can join us decorating Christmas. We can feel that. And during the Advent, we will have the Bible study Wednesday morning and evening. So the morning at 9:30, we will have it. And the evening, I don't know yet. It will be either 6 or 7 p.m., depending on the people's preference. So please, if you want to join us, please let me know or the office know. The book is available. You can find that in the office. Oh, the book is here. The Journey. It's very nice. Very nice book. And I have done the Bible study with this one twice. I love it. Love to do that again. And poinsettia. You can make an order. Please let Marla know that by next Sunday with your name, with your beloved person's name. So please let us know. And bell ringing is back. We have joined Salvation Army's bell ringing, and it's going to be December 11th, 9 a.m. to... No. 10 to 8. Thank you very much. If you want to join, please let Roberta know and the office know about that one. It will be very... Many people want to join it, so first come, first serve, right? And December 9th, we will host Blood Drive in our fellowship hall. Before my vacation, I heard from the office there were already 90 people reserved. So I think we may have more people. It will be a great way to manifest our love for the people who need and research people. So please see that 9 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. in our church fellowship hall. Did I forget anything? We have a lot. I need to catch up. And today, oh no, before that one, Steve, yes. Thank you very much. And Mary will lead us in our worship. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Please stand as you are able and join me responsively with the call to worship. We come together to remember who we are. We come together to affirm whose we are. We worship God in the name of the Christ who calls us to life. We worship God in the name of the Christ who sends us out to serve. Our opening hymn is Come, Ye Thankful People, Come, verses 1 and 2.
Come in thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, does provide for the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field. Fruit is praise to God we yield. With entire food and soul, or to joy or sorrow grow. First the plain and then the ear, then the full grown shell of fear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be.
Amen. Please be seated. I love to see that we will have a beautiful bell choir music. It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. During the week, we have a few people who have birthday. Tomorrow will be Jean Partridge, so we have the beautiful flower over there in honor of her birthday. And Tuesday, Bill Abate and Rosie Davis' birthday. And Thursday, it's Mary's birthday. Happy birthday. And I was surprised Bill and Sue Abate, they were married on Bill's birthday. And Don and Cena as well. Happy anniversary. Please remember Calvin in your prayers. He's in hospital now. So please remember him in your prayers. And I'm so happy to see Rosie, Susan here. So, is your leg okay? Very nice, thank you. So happy to see many of you. And I appreciate your prayers while I was gone for my vacation. It was very nice, thank you. They fed me well and I gained 7 pounds in 2 weeks. So maybe I need workout. Thank you so much. Thanksgiving is coming. Please remember, I hope you have a wonderful and meaningful Thanksgiving with your friends and families. But we also need to remember the people who stay home alone and who are far from their home, especially military people and essential workers. So please remember them in your prayers. Okay, you want it? Oh, he's counting. I thought he wants to speak. Okay, now let's gather our mind and pray together. God of power and glory, we remember your awesome deed in our time and before. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, we remember all you have done in our lives, our time, our days, our talent, and the people you have gathered in our lives and this beautiful church, and all you have done, Lord, for your presence in our lives. And your blessing, we give you thanks. And in this time, we remember the people who need you more. This morning, we pray for the people who are looking at you for healing and hope. And the people who are sick in their body, spirit, and emotion. Particularly, we remember the people who are far from their home on Thanksgiving. Touch their heart. Visit them. Be present with them, as you always have done. And remember the people who feel lonely and who need companionship and care. We also pray for the people who are in need of restoration and reconciliation, and the people who have many kinds of difficulties, and the people who lost their beloved one. Lord, let your face shine upon them and each one of us. Renew our spirit. Remind us of who we are and whose we are. And lead us, Lord. Let your face shine upon each one of us and help us to shine your light in Christ. Lord, we need you. We need your touch. We need your guidance. We need your strength. And we need your peace. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and
please be seated. We love our vampire. If you want to join, please let Pam know you want to join. I think we may have one or two people more. It's going to be beautiful. Yes. Let us sing together, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, page number 384, verse 1.
Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 5, verses 24b through 30 and verse 34. This is a story of a man named Jairus asking Jesus to heal his daughter. So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhages stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Between the service, bell choir was practicing. It was beautiful, and I uploaded on our Facebook, and right after that, I was talking with Judy and our tech people. Maybe, you know, my voice is a little bit loud, and one of the bell choir members came to me and said, "Would you please?" I interrupted them, and I felt really sorry. And today, I'm going to talk about the interruption. I made it, oh my. I think interruption doesn't sound good, so let's call it today the holy interruption, because that sounds better to me. My hope and prayers are you want to associate with me when it comes to the holy interruption. Maybe you do have a different understanding of interruption as you leave this place today. So I just came back from my vacation. I went to visit my parents and have a quality time with my family. I was so happy to see them. It was a time of being relaxed, refreshed, rejuvenated, and being well fed. And I really appreciate your prayers during the time. I have been married for 15 years, 7 months, and 21 days. On my wedding day, my mom said, "Paul, listen. Besides God's voice, there are two voices you always have to listen. Actually, two women's voices. The first one is Rosa, your wife. Listen to your wife. Take it seriously and consider what she says is always right." I'm not sure about that, but it's what I learned. And the second voice is GPS navigation. For my honeymoon, we drove about 2,000 miles. So she said, "Listen to GPS, otherwise you will be lost." You remember that old style, old fashioned GPS navigation, right? These days people use their cell phone, but many of you remember that. It helped me to get to the place I wanted to go. When I lost the track, it kept telling me, recalculating. You remember that? She was so faithful, and she never stopped. And it tells me the shortest way to get there. But I realized this GPS doesn't apply to our life and our faith journey all the time. It didn't apply to the life of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus. He was so fixed and focused person. He was intent on going to the place to live in his role. He was intent on getting to Jerusalem so that he could be revealed and we might have light and life. He was driven. He was so driven by his mission. He knew where he was going and he has to move quickly. And Gospel of Mark describes Jesus this way more than any other gospel. The Gospel of Mark is very concise, short, and it is direct. It is always to the point. It describes Jesus who is on a clear mission. He had a task to accomplish. It describes the urgency of Jesus' mission. So what we see in the Gospel of Mark is he doesn't have time to begin with his beginning. I mean, it doesn't start with the birth of Jesus. No Mary, no Joseph, no, nothing about his childhood. It begins with his baptism. It starts from chapter 1, the moment just before he begins his public ministry. So when you open up that gospel, the Mark, what we see is Jesus is getting to work. We see him in the Jordan River with John. He was baptized and revealed as the Son of God. And immediately after that, we moved into 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. We have no idea what happened in that season, 40 days. We have no time for that one. Then the next thing we hear is he's preaching his first sermon. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Believe in the good news. And the Gospel of Mark has a fast pace. It keeps saying immediately, immediately. It is all about the time. It is all about efficiency. Jesus is direct. Jesus is always on the go, always inviting people to join him. And he is making his way to Jerusalem as fast as he can. We see the urgency in the Gospel of Mark. But what happens in the Gospel of Mark is different. Jesus encounters interruptions so many times. He was interrupted more than any other gospels as he is trying to do his mission in a shortest way. After preaching his first message, he went to another synagogue. He was invited to preach. While preaching, he was interrupted by a leper. He said, "If you, Jesus, if you choose, you can make me well." During the preaching. I mean, he was preaching now. He was interrupted. It might have been annoying, but he was so moved with compassion. He could have simply said, "Okay, be well. He has power. It's done." But he touched him with his hand. He cleansed him with his hand and healed the person. And then he carried on the next. And then what's next? Jesus He's trying to find a quiet place to rest and pray. But we get to see that Peter and other disciples, they hunted for him. The Bible says they hunted for him. They said, "Peter, what are you doing here? Everybody is searching for you. We need you right away." While praying, while making a holy conversation with God, they were hunting for him and interrupting him. What about the next? He moved to Capernaum, Peter's house. He was hoping to have rest. But sure enough, people found him there and gathered around the house, hoping to listen to him and see some miracles. It was not just a couple of people or just dozens of people, a lot. And the house was not big enough. Front door, backyard, and they surrounded the house, and the house was filled with people. While preaching, he was interrupted again. Four people, they went up to the roof with their friend, carrying their friend. What happens next is they lay him down before Jesus while he was preaching. Interruption. And it keeps happening again and again and again. Jesus keeps on walking to Jerusalem, but he keeps on getting interrupted by people. By a person with a withered hand in the middle of the preaching, interrupted by an overwhelming crowd by the seashore, interrupted by beggars who have visual difficulties, interrupted by confused and frustrated Pharisees. Jesus, he's trying to walk this line, shortest way to Jerusalem, but he can't. He can't avoid interruption after interruption and after interruption. It keeps happening. In Mark 5, Jesus, he was on a boat at the Sea of Galilee to go to Nazareth, his home. Maybe he wanted to have some family time, reunion. And he's making his way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He gets on the boat, and all he wanted to do was to go home and rest and see his family. But he's again surrounded by people, a lot of people pressing in to see him. And among the crowd, there was a man named Jairus. Jairus pushes and passes the crowd and comes before Jesus, hoping to invite him. Jairus, this high-ranking person, comes and kneels and starts begging Jesus because his daughter is dying. She's only 12 years old. And she's dying. So serious. The Jairus is willing to sacrifice everything he has, his power, his title, his prestige. And he's willing to kneel down before Jesus saying, "Son of God, if you choose, you can help me, Lord. You can save my daughter." Jesus, he was supposed to go home, but again, he was interrupted by the crowd and Jairus. His GPS keeps saying, recalculating, 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 but Jesus, he was so moved by Jairus' faith, and he changed again his plan and came to his home. As Jesus changed his way, people became curious about what happened, and they surrounded again around him, pressing in and following Jesus. On the way to Jairus' home, Jesus encountered another interruption by a woman. You see, it's urgent. Jairus' daughter, she's dying. This little girl is dying. But this woman, who has been suffering for 12 years, interrupted Jesus. The Bible says this woman has met many doctors, but she was no better, but worse. And she heard about Jesus and finally came to Jesus and touched his clothes because she believed, if I touch his dress, I will be made well. And immediately she felt in her body, she was healed of her disease. And Jesus felt that. Jesus felt somebody touched him and the power left him. It caused him to stop and ask, "Who touched me?" Can you imagine that? Middle of the crowd, the disciples, they were so confused and frustrated. "Teacher, don't you see this, a lot of people? This overwhelming crowd surrounding you? And now are you asking who touched you? How can you know that? And don't you know Jairus' daughter is dying? We are coming for her. She's dying. We don't have time. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up." You see, in the middle of this chaos, Jesus stopped and saw this woman's faith and wish. Jesus turned around and approached this woman who interrupted his way and spoke to her personally, not because she found healing, but because she had great faith. And I love this story because it is filled with interruption. It seems to be chaotic, but Jesus, he always stops and cares for the people who come close to him as they are. When it comes to Jesus, he is willing to stop and listen, even in the middle of chaos. Interruption. Are we making interruption? Many of you know a good friend of mine lives in Florida. They have been in town 2 years ago and they joined in our worship. And oh yeah, his family usually comes and stays with us for a couple of weeks every year, but during the pandemic, we didn't have that one. And they have two children. And I learned there are many challenges to living with children. Oh my. The most difficult one happened in the morning. Some of you know I'm not an early morning person. Usually I go to bed at midnight or 1 a.m. in the morning and I get up around 7 a.m. But those kids, when they stayed with us, they got up at 5 a.m. in the morning. Exactly, I don't know. They sit in front of my door at 5, so they got up before 5. And they, especially the girl, she came to my room and held my wife's hand, and she said, "Auntie Rosa, it's already 5 a.m. in the morning. Let's play." The problem is, I heard that. And I got up at 5 a.m. in the morning. That was challenging. And it happened again and again and again every day. But you know what? What I see is, this little girl, she was so confident that my wife would not be angry when she woke up Rosa at 5 a.m. And this little girl strongly believed my wife would delightfully hug her and play with her right away. And this little girl knew that, and she interrupted my wife and me every day because she believed. And she got what she wanted. So here is my question. Are we interrupting Jesus in our daily lives? Are we asking for Jesus' help, wisdom, and guidance in the middle of all the things we have to handle? Let me ask you, how's your life going? We know what we want and what we have to do for that. Good education, happy marriage, mutual friendship, excellent job with a decent income, the best support for your family and friends, and successful career, and stable and peaceful retirement. But we know life is full of joy and concerns, high and a lot of lows. It doesn't go as planned. Life is full of hills and valleys, and we encounter so many kinds of interruptions, and we need God's help, inspiration, empowerment, and guidance at every hills and valley in our lives until the end of our lives. Are we asking for God's help every single moment? Are we interrupting Jesus? Do we have the faith that Jesus would respond to our interruption, to our prayers and asking, like the woman in our Bible, like so many people in the Bible, and like my friend's daughter? My hope and prayers are we believe in faithful God and interrupt Jesus every day. Holy interruption, asking God in our daily lives. Amen. The Holy Communion is the evidence that Jesus invited each one of us to his mission and his permission to interrupt Jesus, asking for his guidance, inspiration, and empowerment as he broke his bread and shared the cup. He said, "You are on your mission, and I will be with you. I will be with you." Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and who joined online worship. Lord, bless each one of us and these precious elements of the Holy Communion. As we take them, Lord, make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ so that we may be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Lord, help us find you. Help us join your mission and help us interrupt you and receive your guidance. Amen. Please peel the first layer for the bread. This is the body of Christ. Peel the second layer for the cup. This is the blood of Jesus Christ. Why don't you look at each other and to see the people around you? From my side, I can see your morning. I can see all of you, and I can see your smile even with your mask. And I see God's blessing into your eyes. And I see God has a plan and many blessings in our church. For that, I give thanks to God. And this season, particularly with Thanksgiving, it is the time we count God's blessing and we present ourselves, our time, talent, and our mind and resource to God with the hope God will continue God's mission and love in our lives. Amen.
Generous God, you offer us unfailing treasure in heaven and earth. In love and gratitude for your gifts to us, we return these gifts and offerings to you. Use them and stretch them for your church and our neighbors. Use and stretch us to do good, to seek justice, and to be your light in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, verses 1 and 4.
All things, let us give thanks to God, for we have been invited to God's love, been loved by God and the people around us, and to witness the goodness. May the Creator of all, Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, one God living in you, through you, and around you, strengthen you, comfort you, today, tomorrow, and more. Amen.